Continuing our series on the book of Psalms. My psalm this morning is Psalm 51, a prayer of repentance. Rosh Hashanah begins next Shabbat, starting Friday night at sunset. And that is a time for us to focus on repentance. What is repentance? Repentance means turning. Turning away from sin, turning away from disobedience, from rebellion against God, and turning to God, and turning to do the right things. Psalm 51 is a poem, a song, which reflects David's thoughts about sin and repentance that are recorded for us in 2 Samuel chapters 11 through 12. The psalm begins this way. To the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. What a terribly embarrassing introduction to a psalm. After he had gone into Bathsheba. David's adultery with Bathsheba is right there in the Holy Bible at the beginning of Psalm 51 for all the world to see. Here's the background. While his army was away fighting the Ammonites, David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, while on the roof of his palace, he saw a beautiful woman bathing. It was Bathsheba, who was married to one of David's best warriors, Uriah the Hittite. David sent for this beautiful woman. She came to him. They committed adultery. According to the Torah, the penalty for adultery was death. Bathsheba became pregnant. David knew he was in a lot of trouble. So he devised a plan to cover up his sin. He recalled Uriah from the war against the Ammonites. He hoped that Uriah would have relations with Bathsheba so that everyone would think that the child was Uriah's. However, Uriah, who was a Hittite, another nation, was so loyal to the God of Israel and to King David that while his brothers in arms were enduring hardships and fighting the Ammonites, he refused to go to his home and enjoy pleasure with his beautiful wife. Instead, he slept at David's palace with the servants. David was a shrewd man. He came up with another plan. Invite Uriah to eat with him and make sure he drank a lot of wine. That way, Uriah would be feeling really good and his resolve would be lowered and he would go home and have relations with Bathsheba. However, faithful Uriah, after eating and drinking a lot, didn't change his resolve. He did not go home that night. And once again, he slept at the king's palace. David's options to prevent his adultery from becoming known were now almost gone. However, he came up with another plan, a truly horrible plan. If he could arrange for Uriah to be killed in battle, Bathsheba could claim that, of course, the child was Uriah's, and no one would be any the wiser. No one would be able to disprove it. So David sent a letter to Joab, the commander of the army, in which he wrote, "Set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting, and then draw back from him so that he may be struck down and die." Faithful Uriah, who could be trusted to be a faithful messenger and not read the royal letter that he was delivering, delivered the very letter which contained the instructions for his death. Joab did what David instructed him to do. He placed Uriah where he knew there were valiant Ammonite warriors. And in the battle, Uriah was killed, just as David hoped. After Bathsheba mourned for her dead husband, David married her. She had a son. Everyone assumed it was Uriah's son. The truth remained concealed. The cover-up was succeeding. However, what David did displeased the Lord. And even though we may be able to hide our sins from people, we cannot hide our sins from the all-righteous and all-seeing God. The Lord sent Nathan to David to confront him with the truth about his adultery and murder. When confronted by the prophet, David did the right thing. He said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." David's confession of his sin was the beginning of his repentance. Repentance is so very, very important. Turning to God is essential to being reconciled to God and experiencing eternal life. Like David, all of us have sinned. Like David, all of us will need to repent. David was a man after God's heart. David was one of the greatest men who ever lived. He was the king who founded Israel's royal dynasty, of which King Messiah Yeshua is the final and greatest king and the eternal king who will rule over all of humanity forever. David, great warrior, commander, poet, songwriter, musician, and prophet, can teach us a lot about repentance. Psalm 51, verse 1. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." David asked God for forgiveness. He did that using four expressions. Have mercy. Mercy means Don't punish me when I deserve to be punished. God keeps a record of all of our sins. Blot out my transgressions means erase my sins from the records you keep of everyone's sins. Sin is like dirt. Wash me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin means remove my sins like water removes dirt. Notice the basis for forgiveness. David did not ask the Lord to forgive him because he deserved it, or because he was such a good guy, or because he had earned God's forgiveness because of his good deeds, his good works, of which David did many. No, he appealed to God for forgiveness on the basis of who God is, on God's nature, God's character, because God is a God of love and mercy. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. He appealed to God for forgiveness on the basis of who God is. And the more we know God, the better we'll be able to pray and appeal to him on the basis of who he is. A man who is repentant takes full responsibility for his sins. That's what David did. It was my transgressions, my iniquity, my sin. No excuses, no justifications, no rationalizations, no blaming of others. My transgressions, my iniquity, my sin. A man who is repentant is very much aware of his sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. David was very much aware of his sin. He was continually bothered by a guilty conscience. If you have a guilty conscience, you can try to ignore it, but that will only keep you unhappy and will damage your conscience by making it more callous. You can try to do that, ignore your conscience, or you can repent. My advice, much better to repent. When we sin against a human being, we're also sinning against the God who made that human being, who gave him life, the God in whose image he is made, the God who cares for that person. David prayed, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Imagine a great painter. Imagine him spending a year of his life painting a masterpiece. It took Michelangelo 4 years to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, 4 years of his life. But imagine a great painter who spends just a year painting a masterpiece. He puts it on display so that others can enjoy it and benefit from it. However, someone does not like his masterpiece and throws paint on it. He defaces the masterpiece. Very wrong to harm a great work of art. It's a sin. But it's also a sin against the artist who took so much time and effort to make that masterpiece. David expressed the same truth here about his sin against Uriah. His sin against Uriah was a sin against God, who made Uriah, who loved Uriah, who cared for Uriah. A man who is repentant knows that he has sinned against a great and holy God. And he knows that this great and holy God has the right to punish him for his sin if he wants to. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. If the Lord wanted to judge David for his sins, David knew the Lord had every right to judge him. A man who is repentant knows he has sinned against a great and holy God and knows that the Lord has the right to punish him if he wants to. David knew he had sinned. He knew he was a sinner. Why did he sin? Why was he a sinner? David understood that too. He wasn't a sinner because of the bad things he did. He wasn't a sinner because of his environment, because of external influences. No, he sinned because that was his nature. Behold, look, pay attention. I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David understood that he was a sinner from birth, from before birth, from the time of conception. That all of us have a fallen sin nature. That our fallen sin nature has been passed on from Adam and Eve to generation after generation. However, God wants to save us from our fallen sin nature. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to have a rich inner spiritual life. In our hearts, to know Him, to be alive to Him, to be sensitive to Him, to be interacting with Him, to know the truth in our inner being, to have the Lord teach us wisdom in our hearts. Behold, you delight in truth and the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. That's what God wants from us. David once had known God like that. But when he sinned, his relationship to God was ruined. His inward being had turned from truth and wisdom, and he couldn't hear God teaching him wisdom in the secret heart. Now David wanted all of that to change. He wanted to turn back to the living God, to restore that close, personal, intimate relationship with the living God that he once enjoyed. So David prayed to be restored. The prayers are doubled for better understanding and to make them more intense and for poetic beauty. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hyssop is a plant that was used to apply the blood of the Passover lambs to the doors of our houses, which would protect us from death. And hyssop was used in the procedures to cleanse a leper and cleanse a man or woman who was defiled by touching a dead body. Like hyssop helped deliver from death and cleanse from leprosy and defilement, David wanted to be forgiven and right with God once again. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. The main colors represent ideas. White represents purity. Like a white linen which is dirty and then is washed and becomes white again, David prayed to become pure once again. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. David prayed that his sin, which resulted in a guilty conscience and shame and remorse and feeling so troubled that it felt like his bones were broken, would be replaced by happiness. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. David was miserable, unhappy, sad, depressed. Sin causes unhappiness, sadness. You're not happy? It may be because you are doing things that you should not be doing. And it may be because you are not doing things that you should be doing. You want to be happy? Stop doing the things you shouldn't be doing. Start doing the things that you should be doing, like praying to the Lord throughout the day, reading His Word regularly, cultivating that close, intimate, personal, sensitive relationship with the living God, proclaiming the truth about the Messiah to everyone you possibly can, doing something practical to serve your brothers and sisters in your local faith community. This is the way to be happy. David prayed that the Lord would not look at his sins and that his sins would be deleted from the records that God keeps of everyone's sins. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. David prayed not for a shallow, superficial change in himself, but for a deep, profound change, that the Lord would renew his heart, renew his spirit, the innermost part of who he was. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That is not shallow, superficial change. That is transformation at the deepest level of the human soul. God is holy, pure, separate from iniquity, unrighteousness, evil, wickedness, transgression. God hates sin. God will eventually separate sinners from himself if they refuse to repent. He will eventually remove his presence and his spirit from them. David prayed that that would not be him. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. David's sin had resulted in much unhappiness. He prayed that the joy that comes from knowing that he was forgiven and in a right relationship with God, in other words, that he was saved, would be his again. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Salvation, forgiveness, being right with God results in joy. And he prayed that the Lord would uphold him with a willing spirit, that the Lord would help him have a whole new attitude that wants to live right and serve the Lord the way he should be served. Uphold me with a willing spirit. The repentant man is not just concerned about himself. He's concerned about those around him. He's concerned about others. He has a desire to influence others. David understood that being in a close relationship with the living God produces a desire to teach others about God and about God's ways. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. When we are close to the Lord, right with the Lord, proclaiming the truth, especially about Yeshua, will be very important to us. If it's not important to you, I am telling you something is terribly wrong. It is so right, it is so good, it is so necessary for people to praise their Creator. Would you agree with that? The repentant man praises God. David had committed adultery and murder. Blood was on his hands. Can the Lord be so forgiving that he will forgive those terrible sins, adultery and murder? The answer is yes. David knew that the Lord is willing to forgive those terrible sins, and when he does, he must be praised. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. We may not have committed adultery or murder, but all of us have sinned. And the punishment for sin is death. So if the Lord of your salvation has delivered you from your sins, you should be praising him for saving you, like David did. A lot. Sin that we don't repent from interferes with our ability to praise the Lord. And praising him is so right, so good, so necessary for the Lord's creatures to be doing. David prayed that the Lord would restore him so that he could praise the Lord the way he should. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. We use that same prayer of David frequently, especially at the beginning of the Amidah. What kind of worship pleases God? David knew, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God, God's sacrifices, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. It's not external things that we do that please the Lord. Not even the most God-ordained religious things, like killing animals, putting their blood on an altar, and burning their bodies. What really pleases the Lord is an awareness of God's reality, His holiness, His righteousness, and it's an awareness of our brokenness, our sinfulness, our failings, and God's willingness to forgive our sins. You will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The man who has repented is concerned for those around him. David prayed that the Lord would bless the people of Jerusalem among whom he lived, like the Lord had blessed him. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Being repentant, being close to God, right with God, aware of God, must precede external practices, even God-ordained religious practices. David prayed that the Lord would do good to the people of Jerusalem, like he had to David, forgiving him and restoring him. David prayed that the Lord would build the walls of Jerusalem, which would ensure its people were safe. When the people of Zion were safe and had turned from their sins and were forgiven and restored and close to God, then and only then would our sacrifices be real, genuine, right, heartfelt, and a delight to God. And the same principle applies to each one of us. We need to be turning from our sins, restored, close to God, intimate with God, then our religion is real and a delight to God. Let's pray. Lord God, the repentant person is very much aware of his sins. He does not deny them, ignore them, minimize them, rationalize them, excuse them. Help each one of us to be aware of our sins. The repentant person takes responsibility for his sins. Lord, help each one of us to be able to say, it is my transgressions, my iniquities, my sins. Lord, the repentant person has a broken and contrite heart. Help each one of us to have that broken and contrite heart. Bless us with being poor in spirit. The repentant person, Lord, confesses his sins to you and believes that you will forgive his sins because you are full of love and mercy. Help us to really know this about you, believe this, and therefore confess our sins to you. Lord, the repentant person wants a clean heart, a right spirit, a willing spirit, to be filled with your spirit, to be close to you, to have a close relationship with you, the living God, to be interacting with you in the heart, to be sensitive to you, aware of you. Lord, may that be each one of us. Lord, the repentant person experiences joy, happiness, peace. Give us the joy, the happiness, the peace that comes from true repentance and simply being in a right relationship with you, the living, eternal, loving God. Lord, the repentant person is able to praise and worship you the way you should be praised and worshiped. Help us be that. May we be true worshipers who worship you in spirit and in truth. Finally, Lord, the repentant person wants others to experience what he has experienced. He wants to teach others about you and your ways and your Yeshua, your salvation. I pray, Lord, that you would so work in each one of us that that would be us. Much to learn from Psalm 51, a great, great prayer of repentance.